Hello, hello again, and welcome to On The Rec Podcast. This is episode 6? Wow. Oh, that's wild. I had to take a little bit of time to just really do some mental health work because your boy was tired. Your boy was internalizing and feeling a lot of things. Still am, but doing much better about it. So I really appreciate the hiatus. In today's episode, we'll be speaking with a young man named Jerry. Jerry had a very powerful message go viral, and he's getting ready to embark on a new journey. And I wanted to just pick his brain and see where he's at. And this is a very candid and informal conversation. So stick around. I hope you enjoy. So I realize that it's been a minute, and you know, a lot of current events have happened, a lot of hurtful, harmful events have happened, and it goes without saying that America, as we know it, has had to change some things around and really confront some of its expectations of who we are, yeah, and where how we interact with people of different races, backgrounds, creeds, ethnicities, and disabilities. So first, before we get too far into this, Jerry, I wanted to just say thank you for joining the podcast today. It's honestly an honor to have you here.
Thank you. Truly. I appreciate that so much.
No, but seriously, I think a lot of times we as people who have been a part of structure and organized chaos that is society tend to forget, yeah, that that truth does not just come from people who are adults and working jobs and, you know, 35 plus and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Truth exists everywhere around us, and oftentimes it will come out of what a lot of people like to call babes, but I'm just gonna call y'all tiny humans because, like, that's what y'all are. Y'all are still growing into yourselves. And I mean that in the least condescending way. It's just that for you to be at this level already of being willing to not only put your life on the line, but to also make your voice utilized in the midst of what could be danger, in the midst of uncertainty, it's really, really powerful. So, again, I like to ramble, so let me chill. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's an honor. This is like the first. This is like the first thing of this sort that, like, I've done before. So I'm very excited / nervous. But
yeah. Let's talk about first off the protest that occurred here in Springfield, Illinois. Mm-hmm. It was definitely one of the most recognized social movements that I've seen in town here since I've moved here in 2014-ish.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't know how many people they had, but I know that it was packed. Like, I'll link pictures on my podcast page, but there are so many people there. The street was filled, and thankfully, Springfield Police Department blocked off some streets for us, made sure that there was safety while also, you know, keeping to the fringe and allowing people to make their voices be heard. And we do appreciate that. I don't want to, I got to give credit where it's due in that regard, but we're not here to talk about the police. We're here to talk about specifically the protest and you. So a lot of people may know you, but not actually know you. And specifically for a picture that went viral, like, it was everywhere for a while. I was there, and I did see the sign, but obviously there are so many people, like, we're kind of just, like, swimming in a, yeah, sea of people. socially distancing as much as we could and also wearing masks and doing what we could to make sure that we were being conscious of COVID and the potentiality of others being affected. So Instagram was a major place that I saw it. I saw people posting it on their personal pages on Facebook. Tyrese shared it, which was...
Most definitely the one and only.
Just crazy.
I when I tell you, I found out about it an entire day after it happened. Like, the post was up for 22 hours. And what was insane is that it wasn't even like a family member, like somebody that I knew in person. Mm-hmm. It was a friend that I have met on the internet. She lives in Louisiana. Her name's Takia. Shout out to her. If she's listening to this, I might just send her the link. But she literally sent it to me and she was like, "Is this you?" And I was like, Can I curse on here?
Yes, absolutely.
I was like, bitch. I was like, are you like dead ass? And I was at, I don't call them parties because I am very conscious about my health and others' health in this very, very scary pandemic.
But it was a socially distanced soiree.
I was at a get together with a few of my friends and when my other friend from Louisiana, Takia, had texted me and was like, "Is this you?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness." And like, it was very exciting because like all my friends were there and we were all like, "Oh my goodness." Like, and that's like Tyrese. Like, it's not Beyonce, but like, he's Tyrese. Like, everybody
no,
knows. Yes, everyone knows who he is. Like, Fast and Furious, Baby Boy.
Jody. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I literally, like, when he posted that, I went and I streamed two of his songs. Isn't Sweet Lady one of them?
Sure.
And Why You Gotta Act Like That, the other one.
Oh man, that's a classic.
Yes.
Ooh.
I gave him his 13 cents because he posted my picture.
You are so petty and I'm living for it. Okay, so there's a lot of gems in there and I need to just softly absorb them and keep the conversation rolling.
Wait, can I go back to a different tangent really quickly? Because I love tangents.
Of course.
You had mentioned that like you had saw the sign, and I wanted to say that I am so sad because, like I said, June of 2020, well, I said this earlier before we had started officially recording, but June of 2020 was just such a catalyst for me, like, in my life. And of course the protests happened on June 1st. So like that right. was just like from the get go, like the morning I woke up like on the 22nd. No, that's a lie. Because I saw there were a few people that were posting it like the day of, like after the protest, like you know, when I went home and it was like, you know, 10 o'clock-ish, whatever.
Yeah.
And there were like a few people that had shared it. And I saw one post that had like 900 shares and I was like, ooh, like this is so much. I was like, you know, really happy with my 900 shares. And I had like went with friends after that. So I had like left the poster at the statue or whatever. And I'm sure like people cleaning up after just like threw it away. But like I see that like all the way, like I look at the picture and I'm like, oh, like, you know, that poster is like somewhere in a random landfill. it doesn't know, like, you know, the conversation.
But the impact has like just the impact has been so broad and yeah. What's crazy about that is like, even though, I mean, we joke and we talk about like, you know, how many shares and everything. And I don't want people to get the wrong idea about you because yeah. you're definitely not the type of person that's doing it for the clout.
Yes, the influence, like literally it could just reach one person like here locally and I'd be so beyond happy because it's just the point of like the message being spread and like,
right.
The conversation being sparked, like even if it makes a white person say, you know, hey, like what does this mean? Mm-hmm. Like what is the specifics behind this phrase? Like why did he say this? What does like even if it just makes a person like ask, like, you know, what does the poster mean? Even if it doesn't go as far into like a police brutality conversation or just like racism in general. I think that is all that matters, but the influence that it has amassed is so insane. And I think that it is just a plus and it makes me so beyond happy because like people, like they look at the picture and they see the sign and they see a solemn boy and it speaks to them on, you know, different levels. But like, it's just insane to me. I look at the picture every day, and I'm just like, this picture has been around the world, like not even just
around the state.
Like it's still so insane to me, because like you have to think, like, I mean, we live in Springfield. Springfield has a population of 120,000 people approximately. The United States has a population of like 300 like million people, I think. Don't fact check me on that, but I believe it's approximately 300 million people. Like, just the world in general, like I've like reverse image searched the picture, and it's been posted by like German politicians and like,
wow,
this comedian named David Crosby, if anyone knows who that is.
What?
Yeah, do you know who that is?
I mean, vaguely.
Yeah, I don't know, like, that's... Mac Miller followed him on Twitter. He still follows him. Like, of course, Mac is dead. Rest in peace to him. But, yes. Like, the fact that Mac Miller followed that man and, like, that man posted my picture, I was like, wow, like, that's...
7 degrees of separation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, Tyrese, like, the amount of famous people that, like, follow him on Instagram and not, like... of course, I went through the likes and, like, I tried to see if there were anybody that was, like, that jumped out at me. And, like, of course, but, like, literally Nicki Minaj follows him. Like, the thought in my head at night that Nicki Minaj could have seen that photo, like, I can't even begin to, like, I can't even, like, put it into tangible words.
It's a lot to take in, for yes, sure.
But the moral of the story is that the photo went a lot of places, and I'm happy that it went as far as it did. And, like, of course, you know, like, with viral things, like, they have like their peak of viralness. Like the day of was like, I feel like was the tippity toppity. It was like 40,000 shares in one night. And it was just
insane.
Like, and that was just on Facebook alone. That was from what I saw. And you know, the internet, like, you know, you ever see those memes of like icebergs and then like the internet, like 10%.
Yeah.
Like what you use and the other 90% that you don't see. So I can only imagine like what I haven't seen. And like I said, the reverse image searching, like I've literally found it on like websites from like Czechoslovakia, and like I've seen like articles written in like Chinese and Italian, and like it's just so insane.
It is insane. But then that's also something to like, let's speak on that for a little bit, because Black Lives Matter has become the largest civil rights movement of civil rights movements, and that's not to detract from the work that has been done in the 60s and by Stokely Carmichael, Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm yes. X, Bayard Rustin, oh my gosh, Fannie Lou Hammer, Rosa Parks, Coretta Scott King.
Oh no, keep talking. I was trying to, like, you were rambling like the names, and I was like, come on, think of some. And like I had a person in my head, but I couldn't think of the name.
Sure. But like that all of this to say, you know, Black Lives Matter has been something that has traveled around the world.
Yeah.
And so many people are empathizing with the plight of Black people. Not just the plight of Black people here, but globally. You know,
yeah.
Anti-Blackness is global, unfortunately. But the fact that, you know, this is a global issue and we're just now getting to a point where we're able to talk about it, but we still have like, we feel like we're grasping at straws about like who leaders are, figureheads and history. Like there's so much that has to be talked about. And I think that, what your sign did, and we'll talk about what the actual phrase was in a second.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Can't wait to get into
it. I think what your sign did was, like you said, to prompt a conversation, but also force people to really reckon with the fact that, you know, you may say that you're for this movement, for Black people or whatever, but does your actions match your words? Are you walking the walk as well as talking the talk? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And why don't you tell the folks what your message actually was for those who haven't seen the picture yet?
So it's me holding a sign, and the sign reads, "Dear white people, stop using Dr. King as an example of a peaceful protest. ... You shot him too."
And see, I just want that to sit for a little bit. Say it one more time for me.
"Dear white people, stop using Dr. King as an example of a peaceful protest because you shot him too."
Yeah.
That makes a lot of people uncomfortable. And a lot of people, it goes over a lot of people's head. Mm-hmm. And that is what I saw the most when I was like looking through the comments, like all the different, because you know, different pages had like posted the picture.
Right.
So I was like looking at all the different individual comments that, you know, people had to say. And John, as we like, you know who I'm talking about, right? Okay. So he told me previously, like
John Keating.
Yeah. He told me, he was like, you know, don't look at the comments. And me as an avid Ariana Grande stan, you know, I don't know if you know, but you know, my girl has went through lots of bullying over the years. So she has been an avid comment turner offer from, you know, like 2017 to like 2019.
Now.
So yeah, like yeah. Literally like she'll do it anytime. Like, you know, she doesn't feel like looking at what people have to say. Mm-hmm. So like I had like already had that mentality. Like I never look at negative stuff, like, because, you know, I know that people's lives are miserable.
And one, yeah. Amen.
And one, you never know like what people's situations are. You never know what they went through that like would make them react in different ways. So, you know, I kind of looked at some of the comments just to some, and sometimes I just like to argue. So I just like looked, I just like to look through the comments and I was like, you know, like, oh, like, I'm, you know, I'm so sorry that you feel this way, but like, that sucks. Like your opinion is invalid. This is actually not my own original phrasing, even though I don't know, because some people, you know, some people like to give credit where they believe credit is due. So sure. I'm sure some people thought that I came up with this, but I actually did not. I got it off of Facebook, believe it or not.
Okay.
And like the, when I saw the Facebook post, I could tell that the Facebook post, like the phrasing of it was like meant to like be kind of like
jarring.
Yeah. Well, like jarring and like comedic at the same time. Is that how you pronounce that? Comedic?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was meant to like have a funny like tone to it. Like, you know, like, like, fuck y'all. Like, y'all,
right.
Like, like y'all can't say this because you guys definitely also killed this man.
But yeah.
Yeah. But so
it's the ultimate this you.
Yeah. I love it. But it made a lot of people uncomfortable. And the top comment on, and I posted it on my personal Instagram, which I have like 1,200 followers, I believe. And the post got like 1,300 followers. I'm not followers. Yep. Likes. You guys know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that, of course, that, what? Like, when does that ever happen? Like, you get more likes on a picture than you have followers.
Exactly.
But like, that's still like very insane to me. But the top comment that people had to say, white people, might I add, but the top comment that people had to say was like, oh, I didn't shoot Dr. King. I'm white. I didn't shoot him. I didn't shoot him. And I'm like, the message is going over your head.
Over your head.
It's like, one, it's white people as a whole. It's mm-hmm. the institution that, like, I don't understand right. why this concept is so hard for people to grasp, because we talk about it over and over again. It's the institution that white people uphold and mm-hmm. like refuse to dismantle. By right. refusing to dismantle and you sitting on the sidelines being an innocent bystander, you saying, oh, that doesn't, I'm not racist. Yeah, I didn't shoot Martin Luther King, but I only upheld the institution that helped.
That allowed him to be, you know.
That allowed this man to be assassinated. Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And I think people also forget that it isn't just about the individual actions that allow a person to not be racist, because you don't become not racist, you become anti-racist. Yes. And that means you vehemently and consistently oppose any type of racism. And that's just like facts.
Yeah.
So when people say, oh, well, I didn't shoot Dr. King, well, that may be true, but also, are you doing the work to dismantle, again, the structures and the agendas that have put white people at the top of the totem pole?
I love that.
Wrong phrasing. Top of the food chain, or whatever you want to call it.
Along
with that, too, like, are you leveraging your power in a way to make a equitable and equitable society for all people? And that goes beyond race, too.
Yeah.
We really have to get past the point of looking at things in just a black and white or an Asian or whatever way.
Divisions.
Because there's so many people that get left behind in this conversation, too, you know. Ooh, let me not venture into that weighty deep pool over there, because I could drown in it. But what's been extra curious about all of this to me is that Black Lives Matter has been looked at as a terrorist organization. And I don't know if you've had any people close to you or any people that have been around you. And we're not going to name names because like we're going to try and respect not only our privacy, but also this, because I'm not trying to get people to be doxxed or harassed, but yeah. I would like them to get to a point where they're like, oh shit, I wasn't thinking about what I said, or oh shit, I was really misinformed. You know, being able to take the time to like do research, talk with people, and then say, you know, I was wrong. I was uneducated about this issue. Let me deal with it in this way, X, Y, Z, as opposed to just being like, well, Black Lives Matter and the KKK and Antifa are all the same things. No, that's not the case.
My favorite phrasing is, okay, and I also keep forgetting that I need to speak up, but my favorite phrasing is, not favorite phrasing, one of my favorite phrases is that Google is free. Like, it is 2020. The internet has so many resources, so many. You can literally type in a question and it will give you a billion search results in 2 seconds. So I do not let people on the internet or even people that I am friends with or like just follow on social media. Like, I do not let people get away with anything because I feel like unless you are 12 and under, there is like no reason at all for you to say anything sideways or say anything that can be misconstrued and right. you not know like what you were doing. And like, I even understand that there are some people that were like raised a different way and they were like,
I love the way you said, say it again.
This is all like the people that say they were raised a different way. the moral of the story is that there are no excuses. Like, common truly. Human decency, like, no. Like, I literally don't care if, like, you were raised in, like, the pits of Vicksburg, Mississippi in 1942 and, like, right. no. Like, just being a common, like, human being, like, common decent human being is, like something that you, I feel like, is just ingrained in your DNA.
You know what's so funny about all of this, though, is that as I've gotten older and I'm approaching 30. I'm knocking on 30's doors. It's crazy. Goodness.
Literally, I'm turning 19 in 2 months, and I feel I don't want to get into it because, of course, I understand that you were just about to make a point also, but I have, like, the worst, like fear of, like, death and, like, the afterlife in general, and I just have to remind myself, like, you don't have to worry about that for like a clean 60 years. Like, stop thinking about that.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm, of course, like, I'm sure, like, you know, everyone, like, by the time they like reach the end of their lives, they're all like, oh, like, I'm ready to go anyway. Like, oh, like, I'm tired. Right. Like, oh. And like, I don't know. Like, I hope I reach that, but like, not anytime soon.
Sure. It's weird. let's get into this a little bit because, like, realistically, I think for a long time, there was a moment where I was like, I don't really see myself living past a certain age. Yeah. And whether that was because of, like, medical issues or, you know, society being yeah. black, you know,
okay.
let's break it down. I'm gonna put it out there. I feel as though black people have unfortunately been conditioned to believe that they have a lower life expectancy, not just because of like health, but for the simple fact that we take on so much stress. And nobody talks about how stressful racism is or how stressful it is to confront bigotry or how stressful it is to interact with police and then wonder whether or not you're going to be, if you're going to be, you know, treated fairly or if you're going to be brutalized or if this is going to be, you know, or if your name is going to be a hashtag. Nobody talks about that, you know, and or the conditions of repeatedly seeing black people executed or harmed on social media and the images shared freely, like, and then not only having those images circulated so repeatedly and frequently, but also having to have those images circulated in order to receive justice. People yeah. don't really think about how heavy that is.
Okay.
So me coming into being 30, and I'm gonna bring it back to the point that you said about like, it's really no excuse, Google is free and et cetera, et cetera. Me being, you know, approaching 30 and then having interactions with so many different types of people and still recognizing that I myself still have to learn is it's humbling.
I know exactly what you mean. It's learning humbling. And like a one thing, my fourth grade teacher, shout out to Mrs. Rechtenwall. One thing that like I literally will never like ever get out of my head, she like would always tell us that knowledge is power. And I didn't like, of course, like when you're in the fourth grade and you like see all those corny posters that teachers have on the wall.
Right.
And they're like, oh, like there's no such thing as an excuse. Like, oh, like all that like corny stuff. And I was just like, oh, knowledge is power. Like, oh, whatever.
Right.
And this is like such a weird example, but like I feel like it's so literal. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like when slaves, like when their owners like didn't want them to learn how to read. Because, like, if you knew how to read, like, you could, like, read books, like, teach yourself how to do shit. And you could question authority. Yeah, exactly. Like, and so I feel like that's such a literal example of, like, knowledge is power. And also, I just love, like, learning new stuff. Like, I feel like that will never be get, like, old. And, like, at the same time, I also, there's just so much that I want to do with, like, such a short amount of time. And, like, sure. I feel like, you know, we're humans, our average lifespan is, like, 80 years. Like, I feel like that's a long time, but at the same time, that's not a long time. Like,
changes in a blink.
I feel like there's so much on the earth to, like, take in and, like, learn. Mm-hmm. And there's so much stuff that you can take away from other people and, like, I don't know. I just love learning new stuff.
Every time I feel you.
And, like, you know, like, when you learn new stuff, like, in your brain, like, your mind, like, forms, like, a new, like, brain.
Pathway.
Like, yeah, yeah, like, a new, like, pathway. Like, I feel like, that's so cool. Like, every time I think about that, like, that's just very interesting. I don't know.
No, that's legit. I
love knowledge.
Knowledge is so important. But also, and I'm not saying that to be, like, you know, condescending, because, of course, knowledge is being flexed or used in a way that people who have power, people who have wealth, have easily the most access to it. And, like, that has been leveraged and used against us.
Yeah.
But I will say what has really helped me to really evolve as a person emotionally, physically, mentally, has been being able to sit down with so many different people and really have conversations like these, where we're talking frank and being honest with each other and honest about the positions that we're in, but we're coming to an understanding of, like, this is my experience. This is what I've learned. This is how these events have impacted me and how I've formed my cognition, my mission, my creed, all of that. And really getting to understand not only yourself, but where other people are coming from too. Being able to have that, for lack of a better word, intimacy, being able to be intimate with another person platonically and be able to say, you know, this is what I've taken away from this conversation and this is how I've changed, has shaped me as a person. And I think we don't do that enough, for sure. And I think that's what's also kind of created this division between races. It's just that we've been telling people and saying to people, hey, this is not right, this is wrong, this is what I've been experiencing, you know, I feel slighted because of this, you are being bogus and domineering and controlling in this way, and people haven't been willing or in the space to receive it. So now with us being, you know, we're coming out of quarantine, but also not coming out of quarantine, because we're going to get sent back, mark my words. I went there, so be it. Now that we're in the space where we have to sit down and think, there's a lot of reckoning that's coming through. There's a lot of, like, realizations that have to be had, because, like, America as a whole has depended on Black people and Black culture to get where it's come today.
Oh, most definitely.
Like,
I go off on 20 million different tangents all the time.
We but welcome
that. I love thinking of hypothetical, like, situations.
Situations and scenarios.
Yes, and scenarios. Like if there were no Black people at all, like, where would America be right now? Like, I'm sure, like, and of course, like, we're humans, like, I understand.
They would still,
like,
be building the White House.
Okay. Like, I understand that we're humans and, like, they would have figured it out eventually. But, like, just the contributions of Black people as a whole, like, literally this country is built on the backs of us.
Yeah. And I would even go so far as indigenous folks as well, because like...
Oh, most definitely. Like, there were millions of... And I just... It makes me feel so terrible. Like, there were millions of Native Americans here, and like they just completely wiped them out and devastated them, and then sent them to live on Oklahoma / like Arkansas or something like that.
Some of the harshest land.
Like, it's insane. Like, they like, and by they, like, of course, we're talking about like colonial. Caucasians.
Colonizers.
Yes.
Colonizers.
Yes. The Portuguese
somebody
and
said,
the Spaniards.
Somebody said children of Columbus, and I just was like,
yeah.
But also, anywho, I might cut that part out. We'll see.
But like, I understand what you're talking about. But like, there were like a whole bunch of Native Americans here, and they like killed them all, and they took their culture. Like there were so many like Native American tribes that simply like just don't even exist anymore.
Right.
And that's just very sad to think about. And also, like, I don't want to like make everything about me, but you know, like I said, like I'm going to school in New York, and you know, like New York is like was literally built on the home of like Native Americans,
yeah.
Like that, like there were Dutch colonizers that came to the like little island in New York, even though it's not an island, but peninsula, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, they like essentially like just took all their land and like moved them out of the way. And like,
and what's crazy is like, they depended on them. Like they literally came here and would not have survived the winter.
If
had it
the
not
Native
been.
Americans had not told them how, okay.
So that is like,
it just makes me feel very comfortable that I know in my spirit that there are a lot of historical people that are rotting in the deepest pits of hell because they were terrible people.
You better say that,
terrible
Thomas
people.
Jefferson.
I heard that there's somewhere that he had like he had like proposed this amendment that like would have freed all slaves, and like it got voted. Like, it missed by a couple votes, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, E for effort, maybe. But, like, still, yeah, thumbs down on the whole entire owning slaves and, like, having a secret family.
Yeah.
That was not the best. Yeah.
There's a lot of obscurity that comes to mind when we talk about Black people and the history of our nation. And Indigenous people, too. But specifically Black people, because that is our experience, you know.
Yes. I feel like that's a very, very key word there, experience. And mm-hmm. a lot of people, because I'm very active on like Snapchat and like just wherever I reach people, that's where I try to, you know.
Reach people.
Yeah, exactly. Like put out my voice and like be heard. So like on Snap, a lot of the times when people like try to argue with me and like, you know, profess their points, and it's white people half the time, most of the time actually, and they'll be like, oh, but this hasn't happened to me, but that hasn't happened to me, but this isn't, oh no, you're victimizing yourself, this, that. Like, you will quite literally never be able to, and I'm not even gonna say applaud, because you don't applaud a fish for swimming. But I am very happy for the white people that I'm friends with and white people out there that have took it upon themselves to educate themselves and, you know, realize, you, and like, you know, take a step back and look and be like, you know, there is an institution of racism, and, you know, historically
Certainly.
My people have been wrong, and, you know, I am gonna take the steps to try and at least dismantle this, and, you know, I'm not gonna stand for it. Like, I'm very happy for the white people that are not living under a rock and are not stupid. But the people that, you know, try to like argue with me, they're like, oh, this hasn't happened to me. You will physically never be able to live in my skin as a Black person in America, as a Black person on the planet Earth in general. Like, you, as much as you, like, you can watch Mississippi Burning, like Selma, every Martin Luther King movie in the world, like, you can look at it, but it's always going to be from an outside perspective.
Correct.
Like, it's, correct. You're never going to be able to understand it 100%. Like, you're never going to be able to live in my skin and feel the fear that I feel at night when I am walking to the corner store and cops drive by and, like, I'm literally wearing a hoodie. Like, bitch, I don't know if I could be matching somebody else's random ass description.
Right.
Like,
a description that half the time they don't even check.
Okay.
Let's be real. And, you know, recently in Aurora, and I don't know if this was Aurora, Illinois, or Aurora.
I have my feet not safe. My shoes are literally, I've had them for a year. They're so small. My feet hurt.
So recently in Aurora, and I'm not sure if it was Colorado or Illinois, there's a black family that was pulled over because they supposedly, and I'm making air quotes, matched a description.
I believe I know what you're talking about.
And they pulled a whole family out. You know, there was a little girl who was wearing a crown.
They made them get on the ground?
Get on the ground, face down in the pavement.
Yeah.
You know, and the description that they had described a motorcycle. Like,
I would.
But they were in an SUV. Like, how do you, it's little things like that. How do you get those two confused? And what was your logic or your reasoning for having them all face down in the pavement? If you were going to detain them, like, why didn't you just detain them and then, like, keep it pushing? But because you, like, humiliated cops, them.
Maybe this is because I watch too much SVU or just, like, I don't know. But, you know, there are people that say that cops are, like, you know, just bullies that grew up and now are, like, bullies mm-hmm. with badges. Like, I feel like a lot of the things that cops do are for power. They are essentially power plays. Like, it's just like, you know, oh, I have this pretty badge. It's a piece of metal. Ooh, and I have a gun. Like, listen to me. Like.
And that's the way it comes off.
I have three words. Would never, could never, and should never. And if that were to ever happen to me, like, no, I know my rights. Like, I do not want to say, and there are a lot of people that say stuff like that, and they'll be like, I know my rights. I would never let that happen to me. Like, oh, like those, like, you know, there are black people like Candace Owens and like all those other pick-me's.
We don't talk about her.
Okay, like there are people that are just like, you know, oh, I would have never let that happen to me. Like, that was just, oh, George Floyd was a thug. Like, he shouldn't have been, wrong place, wrong time. He shouldn't have been there, this, that. And of course, I'm not saying it to be like that. Like, of course, there are going to be cops that don't abide by that, like, whatever.
Certainly.
So I'm saying that I know that there have been people that knew their rights and still suffered, like, you know, grave deaths at the hands of the racist institution. But I have faith that that would never happen to me and that the Lord has not let any... Listen, I have never been called the N-word. I have never been in a racist situation because I feel like the universe, the Lord, somebody, a divine power knows as a whole that... They know better than to put me in a situation like that because I am not the one, two, or the three.
Well, let me tell you something. I am very glad that that is your experience. I've been called out of my name several times. And
also, can we also, I'm not like fucking Vanessa Williams, but I am lighter than you. Like, I feel that does have a lot to do with our experiences as black people in America. Sure. And also, just like the same as a white person might not know my experience as a black person in America, I might not necessarily know your experience right. 100% as a whole because you are darker than me.
And that's okay because black people aren't a monolith. You know, people, this is what gets me. When we're talking about the way that people, black people specifically, are portrayed in this country,
Yeah. There
is not a lot of room, a lot of brevity, a lot of space for us to be seen as the complete and whole identities that we are. And that's frustrating because, like, we should be able to be like, oh, you know, I'm a black boy that is into pop music. Like, that, okay. I should be perfectly fine doing that, and there should be space and room for me to live and breathe in that. I should be able to be like, oh, you know what? Like, the goth scene is, like, totally where I'm at. Like, that's where I feel at home because I love this music. This is what makes me feel, move, and breathe. Like, there should be space allocated, not even allocated, there should just be space available for everybody to feel and express and live in their full and whole identity. As long as it is not harmful to another person.
Oh my goodness. That, what you just said, do you not know how many times I say that to people all the time. Like, and that is literally, like, my biggest and, like, simplest argument for, like, when people are like, oh, like, and of course me, I'm a very, very proud gay man in America, and there are people that have different opinions on that, even though I feel like you can't have an opinion on someone's existence.
You can't.
Like, that doesn't even make any sense. And, like, there are people that that have their opinions on it, and they think, like, I'm going to put it so plainly and simple, and, like, I don't know how many people are going to hear this, and, I mean, I hope it reaches the right person, but why would I ever wake up and decide, one, that I'm going to like men? Two, why would I wake up? One, I am already black in America. Like, I am oppressed enough. Why do you feasibly think I would ever consciously wake up and decide,
Maybe I'll add this to the list.
Like, okay, like, what does the, like you people, like, please read a book. Please find the nearest one that you can find.
As if we'd want to be, like, the Mr. Potato Heads of oppression. Okay. Like, why would we want that? Okay. Like, you know, and regardless,
But, like, yeah, like, I understand what you're saying. And there should definitely be a space for everyone. And I feel like I also had a different point that I was going off of. But as you can already tell, I've went off of 20,000 different tangents.
Tangents, man. We love them.
Okay, I definitely do.
So, we were talking about so many different things.
Can we, before we go, and because I feel like this will be a good, like, outlet for me also, before we, like, close out this interview, like, whenever, because I, like, I'm cool, we're talking now, but
yeah,
like, but before we close out, can we talk more about, like, my New York trip and stuff, and, like, not even trip, move.
That's
it's
actually
not a trip, it's a move.
That's exactly what I was actually heading towards, because, like, I want to know what that's going to be like for you, especially because, like, have you ever been to New York before? Like, is this, like,
no,
you've never been, so this is, like,
never,
you just, like,
I am jumping into the pool with no floaties, no anything.
Ooh, child.
Like,
I'm not even dipping
my toe in the water. Like, freezing cold creek.
So, okay. I'm not going to put all of your business out here because we live in a world that is a little crazy.
Okay. I do not even have my school in my Twitter bio. You say the wrong thing on Twitter and...
Right, Rolodex.
This year's student.
Oh, I heard, because I thought.
This who you have at your school?
No.
Let's continue.
So, we talked about New York and that historically being a place that was founded in racism and genocide. Let's just call it what it is. And certainly has evolved over the years to be a mecca for a lot of different industries.
Yes.
Broadway, travel, music, public relations, like so many different things.
Yeah.
So with this opportunity that you have, you're going to be thrust into a world that's
unlike any other.
Yeah, for sure. You know, New York, while it is like more urban, well, wherever you're going to be in New York, is a little different because it's obviously we're in central Illinois and then you're going to be headed to the East Coast. Yes, East Coast.
Yes. So
that in itself is a whole different culture dynamic. And how do you feel about it? Like, what are you expecting for yourself? Do you have any expectations?
Greatness. Yes.
Okay.
That is one. And one, oh my goodness. And this kind of piggybacks off of what I said at the beginning when I said that I'm very, like, self-lovey. But I'm also very, like, I believe that the tongue is powerful and, like, manifestations and stuff. And you speak into your life, like, what
sure.
you want. So, like, I never, like, when people ask me questions, like, about my future and, like, even when I talk to myself about my future, like, I always speak in... like, in future tense, like, of it's going to happen, like, it's, like, because I feel like, what's the point of wishing and hoping and, like,
right.
you know.
It's cute, but, yeah. like, you yeah, gotta grind
I,
for it.
Yeah, I, like, this is, like, life, it's life or death, essentially, I feel like, because death for me would be a minimum wage job, like, just living in America, like, I don't know. Like, my goal in life is to... I want to leave a legacy, of course, like I mentioned earlier. I want to leave a legacy that outlasts me by many, 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 many generations. And I want to help the world foster an environment where people can be themselves and live in their truth without other people feeling threatened. I want to create things that make people happy, whether that be music or films or music videos or posters or...
So just what, art?
Yes, art in general. Yeah. Like, I want to express myself in so many different ways, and I feel like you said, New York being a mecca for so many things, like, I feel like that is, like, the perfect place to do it. But in terms of expectations, I'm expecting something new. I'm expecting curiosity. I'm expecting lots of money. Lots of money. Lots and lots and lots of money. And just a fantastic future for me and my future children and the people who, I don't know. I want to help people feel good about themselves. Like, you know, like how Ariana Grande has like millions of fans and like, you know, there's like a 13-year-old somewhere like watching a music video and they're like, oh, this speaks to me so much. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like now I, like, you know, when I was 13 and like I would watch an Ariana Grande music video and I'd be like, oh, like I feel so at home. Like, I feel like she really knows me. Like, I feel like this specific piece of art like touches me and like resonates with me. I want to resonate with people on a global level, and I want it to be a positive.
I love that you said resonate, because that in itself, that the implication of that word is like a vibration. It's a resounding feeling. It's something that goes beyond the body, the structure, the art, the intent, and it stretches further than what we could have imagined it. Yeah. Resonating. I love that word. It's a good manifestation word.
And like
word.
Resonating, like when you think of it, like when I think of resonating in my head, I think of it kind of like, you know, someone will like see something that I've done that, you know, speaks to them or touches them on a level. And I feel like literally, you know, like I think of it in my head as like kind of like, you know, like when a drop of water like drops into like a pool and there's like and circles, there's circles, like ripples. Waves, like I, like literally ripples. I feel like the people's like energy, like if it resonates with them, like I feel like it like ripples off of them and like mm-hmm. touches other people and like,
exactly.
And like it literally like waves.
That's the impact of being a light in a community in any way. You know, we've seen it with the message that you shared. We've seen it with the impact of the protests. It's resonating all over the world. It's stretched further, and that feeling, that consciousness, that hope, that sometimes anger, that sadness that moves us to do something about it. It really, like, it stretches so far. And it sometimes makes people uncomfortable to the point where, like, again, they move to react. And then sometimes, you know, they may just be like, I'm not feeling that. Antifa, wah, you know. But yet and still, by having those moments, those droplets that ripple off of you into other people, you're just prolonging the process of that expansion happening. And that's a really wonderful thing. Man, okay. So
I was looking at my countdown app. I have 10 days left.
10 days. Yeah. Okay. So then here's what I want to do. I'll give you five. I want to give you a little bit of advice, but I also want you to think about five things that you're hopeful for.
Okay.
For yourself in like this transition period.
Okay.
And I know that we kind of like talked about that, your expectations, yes, but it's a little bit.
No, I love talking. We can talk all day.
So the first thing that I personally want to give you the advice is stay true to yourself, because you're going to meet a lot of different people and a lot of different perspectives, and they will challenge you, and you can certainly integrate those lessons, those experiences into you, but make sure that they don't muddy the character of who you are as a person. The second piece of advice that I have for you is to really really allow yourself or give yourself permission to explore your interests in different ways. So if you said that you're very into art, you know, there may be a couple times where there's like an exhibit or an event that happens that you're like, I don't know how I feel about this, but stars may align for you to like actually go to that. Sometimes being in those settings that are different than what we imagine are beneficial to us because we get that different perspective, because we meet new people and make new informative connections that will really enhance our future. So give yourself permission to explore those interests. Three, always have a backup plan. Like if you have to be on the train station at the subway to make this train so you could be at, you know, this event, try to have a contingency plan. You know, if you're not getting there earlier than like, hang on, what was I gonna say? If you're not able to get there, you know, two trains ahead of time to give yourself room and brevity and space to like do whatever you gotta do, you'll be doing yourself a little bit of a misfortune. So just take the time to have a contingency plan for everything. Okay. 'Cause you can't recover from everything, but if you have something in place already, then the chances of you being able to adapt and adjust are going to be a lot greater. So that was three. Four. Ooh. Network, network, network.
Oh my goodness. You don't even have to tell. You do not have to tell
in
me.
In this day and age, you are always going to have to work with somebody, or somebody may have whatever you need to the next step. And then you may be able to provide that for them too, and even exchange.
That is literally like, no, when I tell you that I'm going to network on such a level at which has not been seen yet, like on the planet Earth, like that's one of the reasons I'm moving to New York. Like it was a few months ago, Kim Kardashian had like launched her like skin. She was launching her Skims collection, which is like her like undergarment like thing, like line, I think.
Okay.
And she literally tweeted, she was like, hey, like, you know, I'm going to be at like the New York City, like launch for Skims. And she was like, it's like, you know, at like 11 a.m. like this morning or like tomorrow morning or something. She was like, I'm going to like be meeting like the first 50 people. Like, here's the address. Like that is such an insane, like, it's crazy because I know that Kim Kardashian is Kim Kardashian. 100 million, like, followers on Instagram. She's Kim Kardashian. I'm sure there would be a lot of people like racing to like go get there, but I'm sure if I planned ahead, like I could get there. I literally like, and my personality, and like I said, manifestations. I have faith that my personality will carry me like across so many bridges. Like I feel like I could literally like, you know, literally fuck this Skims collection, girl. I don't like, I am not here to get no panties. Like,
I just want to meet you.
Okay, like, I'm literally going to be like, hey, and Kim. I'm going to be like, hey, Kim. Like, you know, like, my name is Jerry. Like, you're finna see my face. Like, I'm going to be like, Kim, like, girl, like, you are, like, get ready to see this face on every billboard possible, baby. Here my number. Like, you, like, do what you want with it. You don't even got to text me, poo. But here it is. I'm going to be like, if you ever think of anything you need, poo.
I got you.
Okay, I'm going to be like, text me. You want me to bring you some groceries, girl? Text me. I got you.
And then walk in like, who all over here?
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm going to...
We talked about a lot.
I know. I'm very, very excited.
I said I was going to do five, and I forgot what the other ones were. That's okay, though.
Yeah.
That's good advice. And honestly, you know, at the end of the day, you have to take what I say with a grain of salt, because, like, you have to do what works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And I won't be offended if that is what you choose to do. You could take this salt and then throw it over your shoulder and be like, okay, I'm done. That's fine. You know, or you could use it to season your steak, whatever you choose. Are you a vegetarian?
No.
No?
Actually,
okay.
But I, one of the things that I am like aiming on doing is when I go to New York, so my... When I tell you that one, like, money, money, money. Like, that is why I tell you, like, I am going to be rich as fuck, because there is no possible way that I plan on living my life less than, like, the most luxurious. And also, just because the world revolves around it. And it's so sad, honestly, because, like, I wish people, like...
I have this strange relationship with money. And strange in the way that I do not mind having it. But money is a tool. It's a resource. And I don't feel comfortable hoarding wealth. I don't feel comfortable not using the tool as a way to, like,
most definitely
create something comfortable. Not just for myself, but for other people as well.
Yeah, so I, like... piggybacking off of, you know, my luxurious lifestyle comment. Of course, like, and I completely understand, because, like, I have been, like, I literally am on Twitter 24/7. Like, I have had an account since April 2015 that I've used every single day. Like, I follow different ranges of people, from my Ariana Grande stan friends to, like, Black Lives Matter pages to skincare estheticians, like, just all over the board. So, I've seen, like, you know, people, I've seen, like, the back and forth arguments over capitalism and, like, wealth hoarding, and I definitely understand what people say. Like, I feel like at the end of the day, the point is, like, why would you have, like, so much, like, enough money you can't even spend that in your lifetime?
Right.
Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, what is the point of hoarding that money if you, like, if good things could be done with it?
Right.
So...
especially if you don't have kids and you're not trying to, like, set some aside for your
so
children.
So my 5-year plan is essentially go to New York, test the waters for freshman year. By the time sophomore year hits, I'm going to be on, you know, the come up. I'm going to be making my money, you know, verify check on Instagram, maybe. I'm not hoping, actually. Manifesting, like I said. But literally, so sophomore year, that's 2 years from now, I literally, like, want to have my own business and, like, you know, have enough stuff on my resume, whether that be acting or making music or, you know, maybe a hit single, you know, just speaking things into existence, like I said. But
that also means you got to do the work, so don't forget that.
Yeah, most definitely.
And I have no doubt that you'll for sure do it.
Yes. Oh, please pray for me. That's all I'm going to say. Even though you say you have no doubt, like, please, just your kind words, even all the way here from Illinois, like, just
I got
the thought,
you.
Like, please, I'm going to need every single, like, good thought that I can get. But I literally, like, when I ride my bike, I've been riding my bike around town, like, a lot more often because, like, I'm leaving and I have been trying to, like, reminisce and, you know, just look on Springfield before I leave it for forever. Okay. So I literally, like, my plan is to come back here and just, like, buy everything out, like, black owned everything. And of course, we are all humans. We all have our own different intentions. But for the most part, across America, there are Asians that are dominating the hair industry in black communities. And there are Arabic people that are dominating, like, you know, corner store, bodegas, whatever you want to call it. Like, those industries in America. I feel like it would be better if black communities invested in ourselves. I feel like it'd make more sense for, you know, these to be black owned businesses in our communities, because that's going to boost the community. That's going to put more money back into the community. If it, like, what is it? The Arabic people and the Chinese people are not reinvesting in our communities. Like,
because they don't live there.
Yeah, they don't live there. They drive all the way across town to come work and go back home at night.
It's the same thing with white police officers, you know? Like, and I have to be frank with you. When you said that, I was like, oh. But, like, when you explained the forethought behind it, I was just like, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Frank talk. This is real. Like, we have community businesses that haven't really served the community.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, that does take away opportunity for black people to.
Yeah. And you know, like, black people are already, you know, on the bottom of the totem pole in society, kind of.
In some ways.
Make a long story short, not to sugarcoat anything. But so, like, you know, like, our. We don't have, like, you know, the biggest wealth in, you know, median terms. So the money that you know, our black women and our black men are getting, like, I feel like we shouldn't be funneling that into, like, you know, people that are don't have our best interests in mind.
I would agree with that.
Reciprocating, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but, yeah, basically, make a long story short, what I was saying is my 5-year plan is, you know, coming back by 2025 and reinvesting in the community, new parks, new... Like, have you been in Poplar Place, like, all those potholes?
No.
Like, I don't go over there frequently, but, like, lots of potholes. Reinventing the community, fixing it. And by reinventing, I don't mean gentrifying in any means.
No, but, like, being able to put equity and...
Yes, and reinvigorate our community. Make our people feel like, oh, my goodness. One of the biggest things I want to do, and I'm so excited to do this because, like, I'm just, like, in my head, I've been an environmental nut since literally, like, 6 years old. Like, Earth Day was always my favorite holiday. Like, I, like, literally anytime, and I'm not, that's actually a lie, anytime I see a piece of trash, I don't pick it up, but when it's convenient and I see a trash can or something, like, I will not be afraid to, like, stick a piece of trash in, like, somebody's, like, trash can on the road. Like, I would rather, like, some random person yell at me for putting trash in their, like, garbage can than, like, leaving it on the street. But
it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I literally... A project that I can't wait to do, I want to set up, and even though I know we already have, like, you know, like, those little, like, green trash cans or, like, whatever trash cans. Oh, my goodness. I don't know why my nose is making that sound when I breathe in. But, oh, my goodness. Trash cans. Okay. Anyway, I want to, like, get, like, you know, these decent size, like, metal trash cans that are, like, set up on, like, important corners. Like, I literally want, like, at least, like, two on... every, like, every other block.
Yeah.
And so it'll encourage people, like, you know, if, I feel like if people, and I know that, you know, black people can be stubborn and people in general can be stubborn. Like, I have seen trash, like, right next to a trash can. Like, people,
right.
People will do not give a damn, to put it, like, very frankly. But I feel like, you know, if you encourage people and make them understand, like, you know, here's a trash can, like, you're 2 feet away from it. Like, don't throw it on the ground. Like, I don't know. My late stepdad, Jeff Bland, he, like, we always did, like, neighborhood cleanups and stuff, and I want to, like, make a foundation, like, in his name, because he was, like, really big in, like, cleaning up and stuff. And I just, you know, make things prettier, like, you know, just clean everything up as a whole.
Yeah.
I want to reinvest in my home.
Sure.
I can't wait to be, like, one of those, like, celebrities that just, like, has influence, or, like, with politicians, and also, like, and I don't, like... our president, you know, the...
Who?
Or the reality TV star of the year.
Who?
None other than Donald J. Trump. I politics would be something that I'd be interested in, but, like, I think that I would have to pick one or the other. And I think that I could, you know, hold a lot of weight being a celebrity and being a big voice. You know, there are celebrities that hold a lot of, like, rank and, like, weight, and, like, you know, you can influence what people think and, right, like, encourage people to vote, and, like, I don't know. I'm just very excited for the future, because I know, sure, it holds very, very great things. Lots of dollar signs.
As long as our current structure still exists. And honestly, I gotta be real, I'm kind of hoping it doesn't.
Okay, Electoral College, throw it away.
Might as well.
Throw it away.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for, like, coming through to chat. I wish you all of the success, all of the love, all of the protection as well, because, like, we out here. And I wish you so much joy in your journey, no matter what. Like, first and foremost, like, joy, because, like, you deserve it, truly. This concludes another episode of On the Reg. Thank you so much for listening, and special thanks to Jerry for coming through and sharing his perspective and his experience. If you would like to help Jerry with his transition into New York, you can actually donate to his GoFundMe, which will be featured in the bio of today's episode. We also have a special deal worked out with the Zodiac Customs. They've created a t-shirt to help offset some of Jerry's costs. And you can get a special discount by using the code Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, 10. Thanks again for listening. Peace.
much.